The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus entered the synagogue. There was a man there who had a withered hand. They watched Jesus closely to see if he would cure him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up here before me." Then he said to the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil, to save life rather than to destroy it?" But they remained silent. Looking around at them with anger and grieved at their hardness of heart, Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately took counsel with the Herodians against him to put him to death. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Happy snowy morning to everybody. So glad that you made it in here with your snowmobiles, snowshoes, cross-country skis. A little thought for you here this morning. We got a story of conflict in our first reading, a story of conflict in our gospel. And in our psalm response, a battle strategy to help you with the conflict that echoes down in your own life. Okay, so take a look at each one of these three elements. First of all, here in the gospel, Jesus restores the man with a withered hand. And it says here at the end that the Pharisees went out and took counsel with the Herodians to put him to death. Now, what's fascinating about that is that the Pharisees and the Herodians hated each other. They were mortal enemies of one another. The Pharisees and the Herodians are only mentioned three times in the New Testament. And every time they are mentioned, it's only because they join forces, because they hate Jesus so much they want to put him to death. The Pharisees, as you probably well know, were that strict sect of Judaism that strictly observed the law, kept every last point of the commandments, and wanted nothing more than to overthrow the Roman authorities and reestablish the kingship of David. The Herodians, by contrast, were Jews in name only, who only wanted to reestablish the authority of King Herod and wanted to cooperate with the Romans to help bring it about. Together, they represent all the powers of the world aligned against the Lord, to whom the Lord is such a great threat. The Pharisees were threatened because Jesus wanted to totally revolutionize the entire cult of temple worship. And the Herodians felt threatened because Jesus had absolutely no concern for their temporal concerns and their political motives. Aligned against the Lord, he casts all prudence aside, does the Father's will, cures the man with a withered hand, and walks away. Okay, now similarly, there's a story of conflict in your first reading with a very well-known, much-loved story of the little boy David, who goes up against a heavy favorite known as Goliath and wins. The first book of Samuel describes Goliath as standing 6 cubits tall. A cubit was 1.5 feet, which means that Goliath was more than 9 feet tall. So along comes King Saul, and he says, wait, stop, you can't go up against Goliath, you're just a little kid. And David says, get out of my way, I'm obeying the law of the Lord. And casting all prudence aside and all better worldly judgment, he picks up 5 smooth stones from the wadi, goes toe to toe with the monster, slays him with 1 well-placed shot. Now, wouldn't it have been a lot more prudent for both Jesus and for David to do something different? Wouldn't it have been more prudent, more reasonable, for Jesus to say, you know, I don't have to go up against all these enemies. I can come back later and cure this man on the quiet and nobody will know the difference. Or maybe I can cure somebody else. Why upset everybody? Wouldn't it have been much more prudent and reasonable for King David to say, you know, Saul, you're right. There's no reason why I should take on this giant alone. Let's come back with some of Israel's greatest warriors and strongest weapons, and we'll reconsider this whole strategy. It would have been much more prudent. It would have been much more reasonable. But it wouldn't have been the will of your Heavenly Father. And this is the thing that's amazing that causes conflict in our own lives. Look down through history. Look through the Old Testament, look through the New Testament, look through the lives of the saints, and you'll find case after case of the heroes of God casting aside all better worldly judgment and doing things which in everyone else's estimation was utterly imprudent and reckless. But that's what made them so great. Certainly the story of our saint today, Saint Anthony. Saint Anthony of the desert lived in Egypt in the 3rd and 4th centuries AD, and his life is very similar to that of Saint Francis in that he was born into a very wealthy family, had every worldly advantage, and yet in the depths of his soul heard a call. Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Afterwards, come and follow me. And against everyone's counsel and better judgment, Anthony did precisely that. He sold all that he had, gave it to the poor, and retired into the solitude of the desert. He became the father of Western monasticism. People from miles around came and sought out the wisdom and the counsel of Anthony. But it was certainly not prudent. It was certainly not reasonable. So now you look at your own life. Is it not the case that you feel this tension? On one hand, there's what you think you ought to do that's reasonable, balanced, and prudent. But then there's this deeper call. It never goes away. This call to do more, be more, do something bold, radical, to hear and answer the call of your Heavenly Father. And you don't know what to choose. You don't know what to do. Well, would you believe that the psalm response reminds us once again of our battle strategy? It says, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for battle, who prepares my fingers for war." And just in case you think that the psalm is speaking literally about military battle, it goes on to say, "My refuge, my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer, my shield, my God in whom I trust." And all throughout the rest of the Old Testament and the New, those very same terms are used in reference to the God to whom we turn in the refuge of prayer. And it's a very important reminder to us once again, brothers and sisters, if you're not taking the time every day to just be with the Lord in prayer, that's how you're missing the voice of the Lord telling you to know what you are to do. The first battle we fight is the battle that's on our knees. And only then do we know what the Lord is speaking to us and saying to us. Can we judge between what is prudent and sometimes what is imprudent, but entirely the will of your Heavenly Father, despite everybody's counsel to the contrary? King David defeated mighty Goliath with 5 smooth stones. Christ our Lord defeated the power of the evil one with 5 deep wounds. But each knew what to do because they had heard the voice of their Heavenly Father speaking in the depths of their prayer. May we go and do the same and ask for the prayers of the saints today to help us. Saint Anthony, pray for us.